Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands to heaven. Amen. Holy Ghost, we thank you, Jesus. I thank you so much for your grace and your love tonight. We worship you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. Holy Ghost, I thank you that your word will go forth tonight, Lord Jesus, and change us, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word, that it has set us free, Lord Jesus. We thank you that whomever the Son sets free is free indeed. We glorify the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, let's turn to Isaiah 61, verse 3. And tonight I want to talk about the power of praise. You know, it's just kind of interesting. While you're turning there, how many have felt like the cares of the world are too much sometimes? And you know, it's kind of wonder, like, is anything good ever going to happen? Or, you know, that it's difficult to think or speak anything positive. You know, it's easy to sit back and look at your circumstances and think, man, is anything good ever going to happen? You know, the enemy wants to get you discouraged, hopeless, and under pressure. That's always something, too. The devil always brings pressure. The Lord always brings peace. You know, Mr. Gary was just talking about the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering. And, you know, and there's peace in there. Peace. Peace is an attribute of the Holy Spirit. And so some of the symptoms, again, are, you know, people that feel pressure, feel these things. Often, you know, they blame other people, right? What happened when God confronted Adam? Well, that woman you gave me, right? And then what did the woman do? Well, that serpent. Get carnal. Sometimes you get angry or get in the flesh or give up. But there is power in praise. You know, we were just, well, let's look at Isaiah 61, verse 3. And it says, to appoint them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. How many want beauty for your ashes? Right? It's kind of a good deal, right? The oil of joy for mourning. So, you know, Isaiah here is talking about, led by the Holy Spirit, there's an exchange going on. And that's what Christianity is all about. It's called the Great Exchange. And then it says, the garment of praise, here we go, for the what? Spirit of heaviness. There is a spirit of heaviness that tries to get on people. But we can exchange the spirit of heaviness for a garment of praise. You know how it says a garment of praise? Exchange for the spirit of heaviness. If you're going to have the spirit of heaviness, then you're not going to be involved in praise, are you? The spirit of praise replaces the spirit of heaviness. That they might be called trees of righteousness. Here we go. The planting of the Lord, and that he might be glorified. So for us to get rid of that spirit of heaviness, it's just too many people are experiencing things because they're in neutral. Right? You know, the ostrich, he just kind of puts his head in the sand and just doesn't look at anything or doesn't deal with anything. Or a possum. Years ago, we had a possum in our yard. We had a lab at the time, and this possum was going along, and the dog came, ran up, started barking. What do? Play dead, right? Yeah. Then the dog wouldn't shut up. Our lab wouldn't stop. So then he got up and hissed at him, and then I held the dog, and then he ran off. But one of the things is possums they play dead. So there's a great exchange here. We got to praise the Lord. You know, one of the things that kind of inspired me this week was, you know, we kind of had a breakthrough in our family. We just, you know, of course, it's just kind of a weird time we're in now. It just seems like there's some transition going on in the world, you know. Am I the only one that kind of sees that on the news and just weird stuff going on, right? But the Lord was kind of, I was just meditating this week on some other things, and the Lord was kind of speaking to me about, you know what? You need to praise me when it's good. Because sometimes when good things happen in our lives, we want to say, yeah, that's great, but I've got this, this, and this, and this, and this that need to be taken care of, God. Rather than sitting back, the Lord was kind of rebuking me, say, Because like, yeah, that's awesome. And we were kind of rejoicing. But then I'm in the back of my mind thinking, yeah, but we need this, this, and this. And the Lord said, no, you need to focus on the praise part. Amen? We need to focus on the things the Lord has done. And again, when we praise God, it breaks things in the spirit realm. It breaks, we're going to see, look at some scriptures tonight. It breaks things in the spirit realm. And again, the enemy is always looking at our responses and listening to what we say. And people who are not in faith are not going to praise. They're not going to, right? I had a relative of mine. He's gone. He's to be with the Lord now, but years ago. But he was a believer. But man, he was grouchy all the time, though. I mean, he was in church all the time, but he just was kind of grouchy. And you would never thought that he was in faith about anything because it was like, oh, this is bad and this is awful and this is terrible. And again, you know, some things happen in life and yeah, we can, but when everything, and we don't give God glory for anything and recognize him, then again, we're going to go down a path. Hebrews 13, 15. I love the scripture. Hebrews 13, 15. Everything could be falling apart. The situation looks impossible. How many of you know that that's when God shows up in the Bible? Because if David could have taken Goliath himself, there's no testimony in that, right? I mean, if I can do everything in it myself, what's the test? Why am I believing God for anything if I can just fix everything myself? Why do we need Jesus if I can just deliver myself and, you know, and forgive myself of sins and everything else? I don't need Jesus if I can do everything myself, but we need Jesus, don't we? We need God to come through for us because there's just things we can't do even naturally. There's just things we can't do in life. And that God is, our Father in heaven is the God of the impossible. Hebrews 13, 15 says, by him, therefore, let us what offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. This isn't just something that we jump and shout on an event like, ooh, this is really great. The check came in the mail, or ooh, this is awesome. You know, this happened or that happened. And yes, we thank God for it. But we're continually being thankful and praising God in these things. And it says what? That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to what? His name. I don't care what you're going through. Or we do care what you're going through, but I'm just saying it doesn't matter what you're going through. If we can praise God and let, you know, I like praising God because I let the enemy know that he's defeated and all of the good things that he's done and that Jesus gets the glory for everything and the Father gets the glory for providing those things in the name of Jesus. Again, it's going to go against our feelings and our flesh. It is a sacrifice. You notice how it says our sacrifice of praise? Because we don't always feel like it. It's something we just don't feel like all the time, right? The devil always, now it doesn't mean that, you know, we always like to, you want to make people feel good and you want to be, let people know you care about them. And God is definitely, because I mean, in heaven, it's going to feel good, right? But God is not always interested in your comfort, but he's more interested in your condition. Sometimes I just remember sometimes when we were at Rhema, it was like, you know, we didn't have anything. And we're just standing on the Bible and we're just going, God, we believe you. We don't know. There's this cute little video. This little boy is about 2 or 3. It's a little caption and it says, God, I trust you. And he kind of closes his eyes and kind of falls down, you know. But it just really is kind of cute, but it just kind of, this little guy is doing like a little 3-year-old can do, trusting God, right? Doing what he knows. And it is a childlike faith. It's just a childlike faith. You know, we don't have the answers. God is the answer. We rest in him. And even though everything looks like a storm going on all around us, God is in the midst. You know, God does care for us. He knows the hairs on our head, and it seems like I'm getting less and less every day, but he's got our hairs on our head numbered. But he cares about the little things. He cares about the little things. Everything we're going through, he's interested in those things. And the devil wants you to think that he doesn't care. He's not concerned about those things. You're in it alone. You're this little orphan and everything's, you know, you're all alone. But that's not what God thinks. Psalms 69:30. We're going to look at some scriptures in Psalms. Psalm 69:30. And there's two things you're going to see in the Bible that go hand in hand. One of them is going to be praise, and another one is going to be thanksgiving. Yes, it's not Thanksgiving yet, is it? And we're talking about Thanksgiving. Often those two go hand in hand. You're going to see in scriptures that there's those two things going on. Psalms 69:30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him, what? With thanksgiving. Praise means we're celebrating who he is. Thanksgiving means that we're coming and we're thanking him not only for the things in the past, but thanking him for the things in the future. Psalms 100, verse 4. And again, we're pretty familiar with some of these. Psalms 100, verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. So we show up to God and we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. I love that scripture. You know, too many times, we, you know, as Christians, everything, well, you know, pray for me and pray for this. And we just, you know, and sometimes we don't have time to, you know, I remember Gary Crowell talking about, he's a former dean of Rhema, talking about, they had a Christmas party. And of course, you know, he was pastoring in Mount Pleasant and, you know, pretty rural around there. And, anyway, he was on a gravel road going to a Christmas party, some people in his church, and he and Connie, and it was dark, and of course, you know, some of these gravel roads, there's not a lot of light, and there's a black Angus bull in front of me, and he didn't see it. Could have T-boned him, but anyway, no. Don't like my jokes, huh? All right. Delicious. Talk about steaks and food here. I'm getting hungry. But he said Jesus. That's all he said was Jesus. And guess what? That thing turned around supernaturally and God spared him. Right? Sometimes we just don't have this time to go, Lord, we beseech thee. this big time. Man, you know what? God knows that, right? But guess what we're doing? We're consistently walking in praise and thanksgiving, aren't we? I don't know, it's easy. It's easy to slip into negativity sometimes, isn't it? Everything that you need to do, right? Because, you know, I've been kind of having some time off and I've been kind of doing some work around the house. I got kind of fixing our fence and doing all kinds of different things around the house and fixing this and fixing this and fixing this and got all these to-do lists. You're like, I got to get it done before this time. I got all these things to do and I got the big to-do list. But what are we going to do? We're going to offer him a sacrifice of praise and we're going to have thanksgiving. Enter his courts with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Psalms 147:7. Psalms 147:7 says, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving and sing praise upon the harp unto our God. So there's thanksgiving and there's praise, isn't there? People of praise are displaying a faith in God, aren't they? When we praise God, we are declaring faith, aren't we? Because if we don't believe God's going to do it, we're not going to waste time praising. We're not going to give glory to him. We're not going to do any of those things. And again, people who do not praise are usually carnal. And again, some, you know, we're not meditating on the word. Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. Joshua chapter 6, verse 20 and 21, we're going to look at the children of Israel, the Hebrews, when we're at the Jericho wall. We're looking at some examples of people that praised God and God delivered them. And it was the impossible. And if you look at, now they're going into Jericho, but you look at some of the Anak and some of the other tribes that they were going to come against, some of these people were, they estimate anywhere from 15 to 20 feet tall. And they talked about giants in the land. And these were massive people. They really were giants. You see some, because the one they really talk about is, I believe, Anak, A-N-A-K, I believe, in the Old Testament during this time period. And when I've done some research, some of these people were at least 20 feet tall. So, literally, these people, now the people in Jericho were a little different. I don't believe they were that big. But some of these tribes they were coming after, it was physically impossible. I mean, you know, it was something where, you know, they were really up against some pretty insurmountable odds. But Joshua 6:20 says, so the people shouted. And again, they're there. They're going around Jericho a number of times. And now they're in, now when you get there, we're all going to shout, we're all going to praise. And then God's like, I got a big surprise for you. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet. Here we go. And the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they what? Took the city. Right? Now, some people believe that the walls just didn't fall flat, but they fell into the ground. I've read some scholars talking about that. Like, wow, that sounds impossible. Really? Because when the people came against Moses, guess what? The earth opened up and swallowed the people, and then it closed back again. So God can do the impossible. And then what's it say here? And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, oxen, sheep, ass, and with the edge of the sword. Now, interestingly enough, you look at these people, what were they dealing with? They were dealing with 40 years of wilderness, slave mentality that they had come through. Now you think about that. You're in a desert for 40 years. You're not going anywhere. You're walking in circles, and you're eating the same meal every day. How'd you like to have that? I think I'd be pretty motivated to move on, don't you? Like, yeah, well, let's go in and take Jericho. We're just going to shout. We're going to praise God. You know, I got to get out of this thing. I mean, you know, right? Talk about like Groundhog Day. Like the same day. You live the same day over and over for 40 years, same spot. You're going around in circles for 40 years, eating the same meal, every meal. No thanks. Daniel chapter 3, we'll turn to Daniel chapter 6, but we'll look at Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They're standing up and they're saying, we're not going to worship this image, we're going to praise God. And what happened? Jesus showed up. The Lord showed up in the fiery furnace with them because they were willing to take a stand and they were to praise the Lord and have a standard. Daniel chapter 6, verse 9. Daniel chapter 6, verse 9, and again, this is when they were where? Well, basically where Iran's at right now. You know, they were, the children of Israel were under Persian dictatorship. It was Nebuchadnezzar, and then his son, and then later Darius, and that's where King Darius is at, or Daniel right now. So, you know, Daniel was under about three different kings during this time period. This account in chapter 6 is when he was under Darius. And so, you know, we're seeing here Daniel has a lot of favor. And let me just say this sometimes. It's not really popular to praise God, is it? Sometimes in some camps. And we see Daniel was kind of an outcast because these other people, he had all this favor. And then all these other people that were under King Darius, all these wise men and everything too, they didn't like it that Daniel, well, first of all, he was a Hebrew. Second of all, he worshiped God. And so they didn't like that. And we see here, verse 9, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. So we're seeing King Darius signed a decree, next 30 days you can't worship or do anything other than him. And that's not going to work for Daniel, is it? Verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, now let me just back up here. If you were caught praising or worshiping or doing anything other than King Darius, you were going to be thrown into the den of lions. And in verse 10, and when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house with his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem. So he didn't care. I mean, Daniel was so radical, he threw the windows up. He's like, I'm going to let everybody see me. I don't even care anymore. Because guess what? I'm going to praise God. I'm in this heathen nation. I'm under this heathen king, even though he had favor with him. These guys don't like me. I'm going to praise God anyway. Kind of reminds me of the whole mask thing during COVID, right? Right? I'm not going to wear this. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to be open. I'm going to praise God. And what's he say? The windows being opened into his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So Daniel was a worshiper. He was a praiser. He was, again, praise and thanksgiving. He was one that worshiped God, who loved God. He didn't care what people think. He was going to make it public. He didn't care. And then in verse 11, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Well, these guys are obviously Captain Obvious here because his window's open. Everybody can see him. And they knew they were going to catch him. Verse 16, then the king commanded that they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said unto Daniel, your God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. King's upset. I don't think he wants to eat anything. He doesn't want to entertain me. He is distraught because he really likes Daniel. And you ever notice that every time these people who praise and worship God and make a stand, they are influencing people. We see Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. They impacted King Nebuchadnezzar, didn't they? Because of their stand. And because God showed up, they were able to, you know, turn the hearts of kings. Here we see the same scenario in the same situation. Verse 17, and they put a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Verse 22, skip down. My God, Daniel talking, my God has sent his angel, and he shut the lions' mouths, and that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocence was found in me, and also before you, king, I have done no hurt. So Daniel is testifying that I'm still here. I am not a lion snack. I did not become a Big Mac for a lion. But it's all a result of him praising God, worshiping God, sticking to his guns, and doing what's right. And he's praising God. And again, the Lord saw him through. Romans 4:17. It's amazing how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we see Moses, and we see Daniel, and we see David, and we see all those other people whom they don't have TBN to watch. They don't have, you know, all these books, all these promotions. They don't have YouTube to watch all these videos. They don't have all the stuff to pump them up. They're alone, and they're committed to God, and they're praising him and worshiping him when nobody's around. There's no fan club. There's no, you know, support team. There's nothing. They just decided, it's me and you, God. That's it. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to trust you against all odds. Everything seems impossible, but God shows up. Romans 4:17 says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Again, he's talking about Abraham, but he says, before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead. Here we go. And calleth those things which be not as though they were. This is one of my favorite scriptures. And calls those things that be not as though they were. That's often what praise is doing, right? We are praising God and doing things that have not even come to pass yet. What are we doing? We're thank God my needs are met according to riches and glory in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank God I have healing in my body. The Zoe kind of life is flowing in my body now. I am healed in the name of Jesus, and I praise you for it. So there's thanksgiving, there's praise, and there's calling those things that be not as though they were. These things all go hand in hand with faith. I just remember one time somebody talking about, one of my instructors was talking to Kenneth Hagin, Brother Hagin, one time when I was in class, and we were talking about this. And he was talking about something about relationship, and Brother Hagin said, well, I just assumed everybody knew that. You know? Like, how much does relationship have? Because Brother Hagin talks a lot about, you know, faith and some other things, but some of the assumption was that you just have a relationship with God. And how does that come about? Through the Word, through prayer, through meditation, through just speaking with Him, and again, having a lifestyle of praise and thanksgiving. Romans 8:28, and the more you get into the, just like today, I was just spending just all day just meditating on the Word this morning, just meditating, just fellowshipping with Him, fellowshipping with Him, fellowshipping with Him. And Romans 8:28 says, and we know all things work together. Everybody say work all together. For good to them that love God. God is working on our behalf if we're believers. Read that again. And we know that all things work together for good. So God is working things good for you. Do you know that? To them that love God. Anybody love here? Love God tonight? That's me. Okay, and I hope that's you. To them who are called according to His purpose. Man, I just even when I'm in prayer sometimes, when I'm around, you know, I was at Rhema or we're doing prayer and there's people who are, when I'm around people who are praised, you know, you can tell when somebody has a spirit of prayer. You can tell, you know, when you're around someone, whether they've just been fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And again, the Word, they've just been spending time in the Word. But again, we just have faith that the more time we spend with Him, the more we're convinced again that He is working. All things work together for the good of them that love God. Amen. And it's like no matter we have a class or something, you're always telling the kids and everything, you know. It's like go do your homework, go study, go do these things. Why? Because the more you get it in you, the better you're going to understand it and know it. You're going to have a better concept, whatever it is, science or math or history, whatever that subject is. The more you're going to be drawn to it, the more you're going to understand that and have more confidence in it. Same with the Word. When we get in the Word more, we have more confidence towards God. We have more confidence in Him. Now, it doesn't mean that He's going to be any bigger or but it just means that we're more convinced, right? The Bible talks about in Psalms, let us magnify the Lord. Well, God doesn't get any bigger. It just means He becomes bigger in our mind. He becomes bigger in our revelation. He becomes bigger in our concept. He becomes bigger in our lives because we allow Him to when we invite Him in. 2 Timothy 3. We'll kind of finish things up here in a few minutes, but 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Man, I love praising God. I just, you know, sometimes in the shower I'm praying in tongues and I'm doing things. It's just like, it is a privilege. It is a privilege. I just thank God for my salvation all the time, you know? I'm going to say this. There's people who have died that have an eternity of regret. If you're not thankful for your salvation, man, you need to be thankful every day. If you're born again and you're saved, and especially if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it is a privilege. I mean, we have so much to be thankful for, right? Because if you're born again and you love God and you walk after Him, you have an eternity of amazing things ahead, right? I mean, we should be praising God. I just thank God I didn't die, you know, in a backslidden state. You know? I mean, I thank God all the time because, like, this could have happened. I could have done this. I was just talking with a friend of mine that I went to high school with. I don't know, it's been a while back, three or four weeks ago. And we had a mutual friend. And just how, you know, I think about these things, the Lord brings, I'll think about things, and it just, he brings, you know, revelation on things. And sometimes it's, you know, I begin to think about these things and meditate. I have a friend of mine that he was on his Harley Davidson, and we had, you know, partied together and done things. And he went by my house, and I was, I don't know, maybe college or something, like, I don't know, I just gotten out of high school, whatever. And he flew by my house about 100 miles an hour, and then an hour later he died. And I know he was on drugs, and it's like, I could have been that, you know? I mean, I could have been there. You know, well, I could have been in a state, but I give God praise and thanksgiving, and I just love Him so much because He had mercy on me. And it could be any of us, right? We could have died in our sins and not accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have so much as believers to thank God and just to be so thankful for and to praise Him. You know, I always think, you know, we're so blessed. Even the worst person that is in so much distraught, if you've got air in your lungs right now, you've got opportunity. But, you know, I've got this, and I need this, and I need this, and I've got to do these things, and I need this. Are you saved? Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? You should be praising God every single day, right? You don't have to spend eternity without Him. I mean, think about it this way. I mean, I believe hell is mercy for people that God put there, because I guarantee you don't want to be in a sinful state and have to be spending an eternity facing God. That is terror. But it's a pleasure to be with God if you are born again, because your sins are forgiven. Because Christ has drawn that. He is the mediator between God and us. Jesus, He brings us together, and we can experience the love of God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, and it says, "This know also that," here we go, "in the last days perilous times shall come." Perilous time, I think we're there, aren't we? I think we're here. Here we go. This, again, sounds like the nightly news. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." How many people are so arrogant, right? They're just so prideful all the time, you know? "Covetous, boasters, proud," oh boy, "blasphemers, disobedient to parents," here we go, unthankful. Well, you know, people who aren't thankful, they're not going to praise God either, are they? Do you know that this is one of the things in the last days that God warns about? One of the characteristics is being unthankful. Again, I've said it before, but just when I'm, you know, in a denominational church years and years ago, being saved, it was like that was the finish line, you know. And I know they didn't, but it was a celebration. Was, yeah, you got in, and then, you know, then you just get in the church. But it's like that's the starting point where we want to live a righteous, holy, sanctified life moving forward for God, and to celebrate, and to be thankful, and to be full of praise for Him. We always love to you know, when we're praying every meal, we always thank God. Thank God for the meal. We thank God for what we have. It's a good reminder, right? I remember Smith Wigglesworth every time he said, I don't spend 15 minutes. 15 minutes doesn't go by without me praising God, without me acknowledging Him, without me, you know, fellowshipping with Him. I don't go a span without 15 minutes. Why? Because we want to continue, and we'll look at this here in a moment. So unthankful, unholy, you know, so all these things kind of go together. You know, Mr. Gary was talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Well, also there in Galatians chapter 5 is called the works of the flesh. Sounds about like the works of the flesh, doesn't it? Same kind of nature. Verse 3, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. There we go. More than lovers of God. Loving God is not on the radar. Being unthankful and not loving God are not on the radar. Here we go. At the end time. What does it say? In the last days, perilous times shall come. Why? Because perilous times will come as a result of people who don't love God and that are unthankful and all these other things. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You know, the Bible talks about, the Apostle Paul talks about, that we're to display the power of God. And just how it is that we just yak about it all the time, but unless we walk in it and do something about it, it's not. So, what does it talk about? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I wonder what it would be like so many times where some of these religious people in this community, if you walk up and say, you know what, I'm going to turn away from you because you're denying the power. How would that go over, right? Well, we want to hide behind those things, you know, and I always kind of question because there's so many people out there that talk about, well, tongues have passed away and the gifts of the Spirit have passed away and this has passed away and that's passed away and that's passed away and that's passed away. Excuse me, I don't want to run away from God. I want to run to God. If I see Jesus experiencing it, guess what? You know, we can say, oh, we just want to be like Jesus. Well, guess what? He cast out demons. He got people healed. He did supernatural things, you know? That's what I just want to be like Him. And I love Him, and I thank Him, and I praise Him for all of those things. And I want to experience more of God. Amen? I've had great experiences with God, but guess what? It's never enough. And that's okay to be greedy about God, right? It's okay to say, I just want more of you, Lord. I want to experience you on a greater level. I just want to thank you more. I want to praise you more. I want to see your glory more. I want to see you more. I want to experience you more. But we've got religious people that are running away from it, right? Don't lay hands on me. Are you going to speak in tongues? Are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? Well, we believe this. Well, I want to know what the Bible has to say about these subjects, right? What does God say about it? What does the Holy Spirit speak to us through His Word about? So again, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, so they're creeps, right? Creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Here we go, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's people that do just, I remember, you know, when I was 8 or 9 were in college, and when I was getting my bachelor's, we were getting our bachelor's degree, and I remember some people were there, and they were just talking about things like, man, I just want to go to school forever. No thanks. Right? I've gone to enough college, you know. Maybe I like studying, I like reading, I like doing things. I'm kind of, you know. But they're just people who are out there. They're always, you know, they're always learning. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's interesting. Let me think about that. Yeah, let me think about that. Let me think about that. And never able to come, what? To the knowledge of the truth. They never personalize things. They never absorb things into their life. You know? Theology is a study about God. Okay, that's interesting, but I want to experience God. And there's a big difference there. A few more scriptures here. Psalms 150 verse 6 says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." How many people, if you've like from Jesse Duplantis and other people that are talking about things in heaven, everything is praising God in heaven. Animals are praising God. Plants are praising God. The waters are praising God. Every single thing of creation is praising God in heaven. Everything. Was a Jesus Planner, somebody was talking about being in heaven, and they were standing next to a horse, and they had this, and they were talking to the horse or something, and the horse says, "Well, I can understand everything you're saying." And the interesting thing was, we don't know what the fall was like, right? Because there's some clues in there that God said, He made all these animals and He did all this other stuff. And then it says that He was trying to find a perfect mate or a helper for man. And then, of course, Eve came along. But we don't know. I don't know what it was like before the fallen state. I don't know. But all I know is Balaam's donkey talked to him, right? So, why are you beating me? Pastor Brent's talking about talking to animals. Don't go to that church. They're talking about talking to animals and all kinds of crazy wacko stuff. No, I don't know. You know, with God, everything's possible. Amen? So, people are like, "Well, there's no animals in heaven." Well, Jesus does come back on a white horse, right? I do believe that Elijah was carried off in a, chariot of fire. And that's horses. So the Bible talks about animals and, heaven. So, if Jesus comes back on a white horse in Revelation, then probably the horse is in heaven. I'm pretty sure He's not borrowing any animals in hell or here on the earth. But again, I diverse. What do I know, right? Psalms 103, verse 1 through 5. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Here we go. "And all that is within me, bless His holy name." There is something here that God is talking. God just does not want some half. You ever notice God doesn't want just half of things? He wants all of you. He's the Bible talks about Him being a jealous God, right? It also says there in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and also in Timothy, you can't serve two gods, right? "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Here we go. "All that is within me, bless His holy name." Praise and worship needs to be something that we're absorbed with. I'm becoming more a revelation on this, just how much God loves us. And really, praise and worship is not just for God, but it's us to release. It's for Him to release our love and for Him. Because again, God inhabits the praises of His people. When we begin to praise Him and worship Him, we know that He inhabits His praise. I just remember being in bars and playing out and doing things, and it's like, the devil likes to show up when he's, mentioned all the time and celebrated in his garbage, all the worldly garbage. Guess what? God shows up when He's praised and He's worshiped. Verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Here we go. "And forget not all His benefits." Again, praising and thanksgiving, there's two things going on here, but they're always in conjunction often. Verse 3, "Who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles?" So first of all, we bless the Lord. If we're going to all His benefits, what's going to follow? Number one, He forgives us. That's pretty cool, right? I messed up plenty of times. I'm probably the only one in here, right? It's falling short. He heals us. He redeems us from destruction. Been a few times where I've coulda, you know, bit the dust. I don't know how many times. I'm pretty sure when I get on the other side and I meet, you know, have a conversation with my guardian angel, or, you know, angels around, looking at me like, you know, I'm really sorry, dude, that I put you through too many things, right? How many times I almost died. But he, guess what? He has delivered me from my destruction. Redeemed us from destruction. He gives us loving kindness and tender mercies, and he provides for us in what? He renews our strength. And I really believe this too, that, you know, often, because we're only seeing this, we only see sometimes a tunnel vision of everything that we're going through. Like, oh, we got to pay these bills. Oh, we got to have this done. Oh, I got to get this done. Oh, I'm behind on this. Oh boy, this work and all these things I'm dealing with, and the kids and work and all of these other things that are going on. How many things that God's doing behind the scenes we don't even know about? When I was a kid, just a little guy, I was always kind of this daring kid, right? I just did crazy stuff. And we were in a deep pool, and I was just really pretty young, really young. But I got on a slide on a pool and went in the deep end, and this guy pulled me out. Well, you know, what's amazing is there wasn't that many people there. But I believe God is doing things for us before we get there. Like, he prepares a way for us. He prepares a way out. And he's always doing things for us to ahead of time, right? Because he knows what's going to happen ahead of time. And I believe those of us who love God, again, don't, you know, do crazy stuff like I did when I was a kid. But the point is, he had mercy on me when I was younger. He had mercy on me in my life. And there was one thing of like, I'm just going to do something crazy. But when you make mistakes, God is there. And I believe that he is, just like this scripture talks about, he forgives all iniquities, heals our diseases, redeems your life from destruction. I believe that's past and future. God is, there is no, God is omnipresent. And he's everywhere at all times. Past, present, and future. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And we serve such an amazing God. And again, it just, even if we didn't have healing, we didn't have prosperity, we didn't have blessings, we didn't have anything, but it was just based on just salvation, just delivering us from hell when we pass on the other side, that is enough to praise him for eternity. And some people live there, right? They just think that's the only thing, that, you know, we just read the Bible, try to do the best we can, and then, you know, I remember those old songs. In the denominational world, you know, in the garden, you know, we're always singing about everything on the other side, aren't we? Right? And that's great. I mean, I used to think about, like, man, this life really stinks. It's got to be really good on the other, and it is going to be better on the other side with Jesus. But, you know, we can still have joy now, right? We can still be blessed. We can still have joy and peace. Even on this, you know, it always made it just sound like everything's awful. Or Brother Hagin always laugh about the one standing in the shadows of Jesus. Or my little shack in the corner of heaven. I mean, all these other things. Like, none of this is even biblical. Because there's no shadow of turning with Jesus. But somehow, you know, on our religious mindset, we've got a slave mentality down here that everything's awful, terrible. And yes, it's not going to be as good as heaven. But still, we can still praise God, thank God, and see God do things in our life and be thankful and praise him throughout the process. Amen? Because to me, the more I praise God, the better I feel. And I know I'm touching him, but I have to look at things too and say, you know what? God's good. Amen? I've got a great wife. I've got great kids. Everybody's healthy. God is so good. Amen? and His presence is good, and His salvation is amazing. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's just so wonderful, and I feel bad for people that don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is wonderful, but having fellowship with the Holy Spirit, it's pretty awesome stuff. Father, we thank You so much. I praise You tonight, Jesus. Father, we thank You so much. We thank You and praise Your holy name tonight for our salvation, Lord Jesus, for redeeming us, for Your loving kindness tonight, Lord. Just Your provisions and everything, Lord, and Your love and Your compassion on us, Lord. Tonight we give You back our love and our praise and our worship, Jesus, that You are worthy. You are the King of Kings. You are the Son of God. Lord, You are the bright and morning star, Lord Jesus. We thank You so much that You're the Alpha, the Omega. We bless You tonight. We thank You in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, have a great weekend, everybody.